Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and, of course, the Holy Spirit. I want to thank all of you for joining us this beautiful Sunday, and I want to let you all know we are back. Due to illness and the holidays, we've had a little rough time getting things around over here, but good news is we are back, and we are back with flying colors. I want to welcome to God News Network, as always, our good friend, St. Albert from South Carolina. How are you doing, brother?
Great, Rick. Great. It's good to be back again, Rick.
Yes, it is. I hope you have enjoyed the little vacation that God has given us and are ready to get back at it, sharing the Word of God with our audience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I am very happy to be here. I'm very happy to be back again with the audience.
Me too. Well, as we go into today's lesson, we're going to be talking about life. When I mean life, I don't mean the physical realm of life that we have, like our bodies. What I mean is life. There is life and there is death. And a lot of people have this subject confused because they're not even sure what life really means, or they don't even know how to define life, and how do we get life, and what kind of things keep us from life, those kinds of things that are taught. And I'm really excited about this opportunity to share this subject. I think it's going to be just one of those that's just going to be very impactful and very powerful for those who are going to be here with us. So with that in mind, let's dive right in here. And I think you have a verse in Genesis you'd like to start us off with here. And if you want to share, Albert, let's move on down the road on that.
Yeah. Just wanted to say, Rick, you know, what we're going to talk about, you know, it's like a lot of times we have sayings that we tell each other, come on, just get a life, man. You know, and, you know, it's not just that person. That person is not actually dead, and he wants, you know, and he's going to get, you know, physically dead, and he's going to get alive. But actually, it's what that person is thinking of and what he's doing that also impacts in that life, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we have, you know, in the Christian world, we talk about always about Christ's life and all that, but we don't have a really understanding of what that life, you know, what it entails. We think it's only just a physical life. And yes, it entails a physical life, but it also entails more than that. So in Genesis, you know, if we look at the beginning of Genesis, we could see in Genesis 2:9 that it talks about a tree of life, and that's the first mention of life that we talk about, you know. And it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust and of the ground and breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, what is it that God gave to man, that he gave him life? What was that breath? And that breath was his breath. It was part of him that came into man. You know, outside of God, there's really, really no life. God is life. And that was the intention all the way down from creation, that everything was sustained and was supposed to be in life. In other words, in that tree of life, which is God, you know? So
when you do a search on that, you get this word here. A second.
Strong's H, 5397. Neshama. Neshama.
Neshama is really interesting because it's different from the previous word he uses as breathed. This word here is spirit. It's the spirit of man. He breathed the spirit into us. And that particular word is really powerful when you read that in context like you just read. And he breathed into his nostrils the spirit. And man became a living soul. So through the spirit, we became living. And it goes on to say, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man, and he had formed. And here it is. Here's Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
You know, it's amazing how God right there has a differentiates between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All the way from the beginning, he makes a statement that those two trees are completely different. And as we know later on in Genesis, he says that the tree of knowledge of good and evil will bring us death. And of course, you know, we have the situation of Adam and Eve that they ate of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and that was a predicament that men went through, you know. But you know, at that moment we were still creations of God, and the life that we have, we depended on Christ, but the life that we have was basically our own lives. We had our own spirit, and even though God's spirit intervened with us, we were still in our own lives. We had our own lives. And that was a big change from what God had to offer man and what he actually gave man later on through the cross and through the acceptance of Christ. And this life that God that talks about, he says it in many different ways, Rick. That life, like if we go to John 1, 4 through 5, he talks that about this life being light.
We're on John chapter 1, and we're in verse 4.
Yeah.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men, which really plays well into what we just read in Genesis, because Genesis explains that this word, he breathed a breath into life. It's a spirit, and that spirit was the light of men.
And of course, you know, we have all the places where he talks about, he's talking about the same thing, but we go to John 4:10, and he's talking about the gift of God of living waters. And he says, he talks about the living waters in different other places. And this, as you remember, was the woman in the well, you know, that also asked him, you know, and God tells him, you know, about the living waters. And it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knowest the gift of God, and who is it that is, you know, with her? Well, you know, she will be asking him, you know, give me something to drink, and we'll have asked him, and he would have given you the living water. In other words, Jesus Christ, if she would have asked Jesus Christ for that living water, God would have given her living water, which is again, you know, again, asking God for salvation and for his life. And this is another way, you know, of him talking about this life, living water. So we have the light of man, which is the same thing, the tree of life, the living waters. And if we go ahead and go to another area too of John, where's John 6:35, he talks about the bread of life, that he is the bread of life.
And well, in John 4:10 there, if we go back up, Jesus is the one that initially said to her, give me a drink.
Yeah.
And when the woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And then they went on and had a conversation. Woman, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asks me, she says, to give you a drink? Which, am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that asks you to give him a drink? You would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water.
Yeah.
And that is so spiritual, because Jesus really didn't deal in the physical realm. He was opening up a conversation for her in the physical realm and then projecting her into the spirit so that she could see into the spirit. And this is how bankrupt men are in life. Because if you go to 4:11, it says, the woman says to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Now think about it. She's still in the physical realm. He tried to get her into the spiritual realm. She has no spiritual knowledge. Therefore, she's still so carnal. And so she's still thinking from the flesh. Well, wait a minute. You don't even have a ladle. You don't even have a bucket. You have nothing to give me. And then she says to him, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. So in other words, in the physical realm, if you keep drinking there, you're going to thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, my question is for you in the audience, do you currently have this everlasting life? Unless you can confidently answer yes, then you are living in a state of fear. Your state is in the carnal realm, and what hope do you have if you don't have this eternal life, this life that God is talking about, that Jesus is talking about to this woman, this life that exists, this life that she doesn't even have a clue of? She's still thinking he's going to dig into this well and bring her out some of this water out of the well, and he's talking about this everlasting life. And then the woman says to him, sir, give me this water. Why? Because she wants this what? Everlasting life. So she says, give me this water. Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus says unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. Uh-oh, she's in trouble. Now she knows she can't do that. So the woman says, I have no husband. Now, Jesus could have scolded her here. This shows you the love and the character of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things I love about this verse that you picked out here for this, Albert. This is really good. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that you sayest truly. The woman said unto her, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Why? Because she just got told what she is and what she's doing, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how Jesus Christ brought that woman into the, because when she came up and said that you were a prophet, she came out of the physical realm into the spiritual realm. And she was talking physically all the way up to when she says, boy, I think that there's more than this. I think that this guy is not talking to me about physical. It's spiritual what he's talking to me about, because of all the things that she understood that was happening to her. So it is great that Jesus has that patience with that woman, because he knows that he will have that patience with us. And a lot of times, even being Christians, we tend to see a lot of things physical, and instead of looking at the things spiritually as to what they are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, you know. It's just, you know, we're in the flesh, and we have the flesh, and that could be a hindrance to us in a lot of different times. But God understands, and he works with us where we are at. But this life that he offers us is incredible. You know, Rick, a lot of times as Christians, you know, just like this woman in the world, we always think about the physical things. We really rarely or think about the spiritual aspects of what this life means with Christ. You know, I have talked to many Christians, and they talk about, you know, and we talk about being heirs of everything that God owns, and that we're co-partners with him, and he's our brother, and we're going to be ruling all this, and even about the crowns. God, Rick, if you ever hear a Christian, a lot of times, a lot of Christians out there, they talk about this crowns like if, you know, it's work. No, because you got to be working because you're going to earn these crowns and the positions in heaven. No, because, you know, if God doesn't catch you working here or this, you won't have a position in heaven. And I mean, arguments in reference to physical stuff, you know. And yes, we're going to have different positions in heaven, but that's not up to our works. It's up to God's will, what he wants each one of us to, the gifts that he has given us, and what he wants us to be in heaven, where he wants us to be judging and you know, and supervising and all that. And as for the material things, yes, we will have a... everything, you know. It's funny. I heard a joke a little while ago from a pastor that he says that a person that was going to die, Christ comes to him and he says, "Please, please, Lord, let me have a wish that I could take something to heaven. Lord, please, please." And the Lord says to him, "Okay, what is it that you want to take to heaven?" He goes, "Man, I want to take a." Gold to heaven. I want to take gold to heaven. So he goes, "Okay, you know, grab a sack and take as much gold as you can, as whatever you want." So the guy gets, you know, gold bricks and puts them in a sack, and he's dragging that sack through the heaven gates and all that, and everybody's looking at him and saying, "What is this guy? What of all the things that were on earth, this guy is bringing in pavers?" So, you know, so that's what we a lot of times focus on, but we don't focus on you know, this is good, but there's something even a lot better than this, Rick. There's something a lot better. And we were talking before, you know, and we call this what is better than this. You have said that before we got on the program, that what is it that you call it? The exchange life, right?
Yeah, the great exchange.
And that's you know, that's incredible, that great exchange. You know, we were talking a few days ago about God coming down and making himself man, fully man. And he has given us the opportunity for us as being man to become also fully God. And I know a lot of people are going to be going there saying, is he crazy? What is he talking about? Fully God. I'm not talking about here about becoming our own gods, like some religion talk about. I'm not talking here about being God the Father or God the Son or even God the Spirit, because those are identities within God. I'm talking about what God told us. And what God told us is that we were sons of Him, and us, and just not sons, but we're part of Him. We're God, the bride. And Jesus Christ talks about this all the time. We are God, the body. It's a different area of God. That's what He made us to.
He has the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and us.
And us.
And how do we pass? So we've uncovered that life is eternal. Life is hid in Him. John 5:24 reveals the mystery. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word. So number one, you have to hear. And here's number two, you have to believe on him that sent me. Think about it. He points it to God. So you have to believe on him that sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So you have to hear his word and believe on him that sent him. And you have everlasting life, and you shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What if everyone on the planet just grasped the part that it says, shall not come into condemnation? If we think about why most people do what they do that is not full of love, that's evil, it's because they themselves feel that they have come into condemnation. They feel that they are condemned. They have no hope. So therefore, I'm not really worth it, so I'm going to do X. X could be become a prostitute. X could be become a drunkard. X could be become a hateful person. Become because of a false identity. You just didn't believe correctly. Think about that. Think if everyone just got a hold of this statement. You hear his word, you believe on him that sent you, now you have everlasting life, and you shall not come into any condemnation. And it says that in 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation in Romans 8:1. But it's passed from life unto death here in 5:24. Today, folks, we're doing a 30-minute show. We think that 30 minutes might be enough to grasp something meaty that we were wanting to get across to you guys. We know your time is precious, but we may be doing more often. We're considering and praying about it. We ask that you pray for us as well, that God lead us into the right direction so that we can give everyone what they need and the information that they need. Here we get the good news, the God's news, not the world news. You know, the world news, there's enough of that out there that, you know, even though it's just anemic, you can listen to it and it just is goofy. It has no power. Let's just put it that way. The world news really has no power. This has power to save. This news has power to give you life. This news has power to raise you up as a son of God, as a daughter of God. That's the news that Albert and I deliver. That's the news that God is giving us to share with you, that has life to heal marriages, life to heal you, life to heal the physical, life to set you free from the bondage of the addictions that you may be involved in. What news can you listen to on any other network that's truly dedicated to helping you become free of condemnation and bondage? Theirs is to exalt some man, some human, some building, some... We exalt Christ. We exalt the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords at God News Network. And you know what? The resources to do this are from God. He provides whatever is needed, whenever it's needed, to those who are being set free from the bondage, from the condemnation. That is the news that has power. It's the greatest news on the planet. Not the news of who said what today in the news or in the White House or in the Congress or anything like that. That's not going to give you any power. It'll tickle your ears. But it gives you no power. This gives you the power of life. What say you, Albert?
You're right, Rick. You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, what we hear out there is things that we enjoy, you know, that tickle people's ears and it brings back the control to our physical. A lot of the news that we the way that we hear it is also our news that that demands the power of God. It puts the power back on earthly things, whether religion or whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to put in this world, politics, religion, and all that. I think it's time for us to start thinking differently. Instead of thinking the way that we have before through the flesh, we have to start thinking spiritually. But what I mean spiritually is through the life of Christ, what this life that Christ has given us. That's what we have to start thinking about.
And with that, it's time to remember Him who gave us that life. Today, I want you to think of this bread of life as the eternal life that He gave you. This bread is a representation of His body. He came down as God in the flesh, as man. That's a God who loves you. That's a God who cares about you. He came down to experience everything so that you, and to suffer everything so that you could experience His world. He came to our world so that we could go to His world. And He had to go through that brokenness to represent His broken heart so that He could be with us. That's how much He loves you. When you take this, eat of it, I want you to picture in your mind and your heart that you're eating eternal life, that you have eternal life through His broken body, and that your body now gets healed through the great exchange. You may eat. And because of His mercy and love for us, He shed this, His blood. This is a representation of His blood. And He said, whoever drinks of this, remember, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's not a new testament. It's the new covenant. The new covenant is a contract that says, I will fulfill this. And He did. He fulfilled it at the cross. When you drink of this, think, I have eternal life. I am a son of God, and there is no more condemnation. Drink. You are now in a position to where you are loved by the God of gods, the Holy of Holies, the King of Kings, and He is with you always. Remember that. He will never let you down. He will always be with you. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm asking now that you do that. Repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for me. I know that you loved us enough that you sent him to do the great exchange for us. I believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and I accept him into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've said that prayer, you are now in the kingdom of God, and you are a son of God, you're a daughter of God, and you are now part of the body of Christ, and you are one with God. Think about that. Albert, thank you once again for joining us, as you do each and every week faithfully. We appreciate that. We have a new guest coming on next week, Ron. He's a great ministry partner and a friend, and he has a great, great message for you next week. We're looking forward to him joining us. So tell your friends and neighbors, be here next week. We will be here, Lord willing, and we will share with you the greatest news on the planet. That is God News Network, where the saints are rising.